Amen. Thank you, ladies. You can be turning this morning to Paul's letter to the Colossians. His letter to the Colossian church. I appreciate Paul's letters. They give us what we need in these days to understand what we should be doing as a local church. And the subject of today's message is a very important one. It deals with the subject of redemption. Redemption. We are the redeemed of the Lord, those that He's been pleased to save unto Himself. We're going to look at that subject today. Please stand with me, if you would, in reverence to the Word of God. And we'll begin reading in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. We read these words, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or to make us fit, sufficient, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us," God hath delivered us, "from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom," speaking of His dear Son, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Father, we bow before You once again, thanking You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for this redemption that is ours through His blood. And I'm asking You, Father, that You be pleased by Your Spirit to help us understand this very, very important truth. We, Father, would even today go from this place rejoicing, thanking You for our redemption, our salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, again, please work in every heart. I don't know, Lord, that there might well be people within this room right now that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Redeemer. So please, Lord, make this truth plain, make it clear, and sow it to our hearts, Lord. Draw savingly, gloriously, beautifully to Yourself today, Lord, and we will be quick give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. This biblical word, redemption, speaks of a release, a setting free by the payment of a ransom. Even some of the songs this morning that we sang speak of that. It is that precious truth that is ours that declares how the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ, is set free from sin through the ransom that was paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, what does all this mean? Well, I want us to look at some of the aspects, some of what the Bible says. And by the way, the New Testament says a lot, much more than we'll be able to cover in this message today about redemption. So I want us to begin by just looking at the truth of redemption. And as I read here, please note something that will be recurring. In redemption, the redeemed person is restored to a previous state or condition. By the very nature of the word redeem, someone, or to ransom someone, that person must have had a former state. Otherwise, they wouldn't be restored or redeemed. They would have already or still been in that original condition. In our case, humankind, originally, beloved, we had a different relationship with our Creator God than we were born into in the flesh in this age. Well, let me go on and explain what a ransom is. I think we understand that word. Just what is a ransom? Well, a ransom is the price paid to make that redemption possible. The price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or possibly a slave captured by an enemy. It is to secure their release. It is that payment, the payment that obtains the liberty of a captive and restores that one then to what? The original condition. Biblical redemption is the returning of a sinner into a right relationship with God. That's the truth of redemption. But why? Why is redemption a necessity? The necessity of redemption. Well, what happened in the human race? What happened to us that resulted in for a need for us to be redeemed? Why is that? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us what happened. He tells us why you and I need to be redeemed. In his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, we read this. Listen. It says there, wherefore, as by one man's sin, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Because of this, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do we follow that? Well, it speaks of this one man. Who was this one man that brought sin into the world? Well, that one man was Adam, Grandpa Adam. When Adam disobeyed the Word of God, when he disobeyed God's command and chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his relationship with God was broken. What did Adam and Eve do when they had disobeyed God and they realized they were naked? They hid from God. That fellowship with God was broken. Sin, beloved, sin created a separation, a break in the fellowship between man and God, between Adam and his God. Now, beloved, as we read here in Romans chapter 5, 12, because Adam was the first man and all the human race was in Adam. Every one of us can call Adam grandpa. All the human race proceeded from him. And as Paul explains, every last one of us inherited his sin nature. We come into this world with that nature to sin. But beloved, not only did we receive the sin nature, we are all sinners by nature. We also learned that not only does sin create a barrier between the sinner and God, it also, and very important, sin also takes the sinner into bondage. Well, preacher, you can speak for yourself, but that doesn't apply to me. Oh, really? God declares that all, how many? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single last one of us are sinners. In Romans, again, in Paul's letter to the Romans, in chapter 7 and verse 14, Paul there writes this. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. What's the idea? Paul's acknowledging that in his lost condition, in his fleshly condition, he's the slave, he's under bondage to sin. Sin is the sinner's master. We find, indeed, that man was lost in his initial state or relationship with God through that sin of Adam, and that he is now sold under sin into bondage. It's so important for us to understand this. If we do not grasp that, we do not grasp that we need to be redeemed. No man gets saved until he realizes he's a sinner. Why is that? He doesn't recognize any need. He doesn't recognize he needs to be saved. But every last one of us is a sinner in need of God's grace. He's a sinner. He is a prisoner of sin. What was Adam's and every person's need since the fall in the Garden of Eden? We need to be redeemed. We need to be saved. A ransom, a price, needs to be paid in order for him, the sinner, to be restored to that, what? Former state before God, before sin entered. Well, not only do we see the situation there and the necessity, but we also see the accomplishment of redemption. How is it that a slave can be redeemed? Well, a ransom must be paid. The price must be paid for redemption. And how can that be accomplished? Well, there's really two ways. Two ways that it can be accomplished. Number one, that one that is a prisoner of sin, the slave to sin, can pay his own ransom. A prisoner can pay the ransom to redeem himself. The only need is that he must be able to pay the ransom price. And what's the price of sin? What is its price? Well, beloved, we understand this. It cannot be purchased with the world's riches. It cannot be purchased by works which we have done. Peter reminds believers in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. Peter writing and dealing with this subject. He says, "For as much as ye know." Do we hear that? For as much as we know, Peter is talking to those that are redeemed, those that know Christ, those that are saved. He says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers." No. We cannot be, our redemption cannot be purchased with the riches of this world. It's not possible. The price of man's redemption is his own life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What does sin earn us? Death. Death. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And again, how many of us did Paul say are sinners? Every last one of us upon this face of this earth are sinners. The bottom line, man cannot redeem himself. He cannot. Why? Because he has, now listen to this, so important. Because those that want to believe they can do this or do that or somehow be a good person or do good works or give a pile of money or and somehow, some way, receive their salvation or redemption for themselves. Get this. Man cannot redeem himself because he has sinned against a perfect, sinless, infinite, and eternal God. Thus, beloved, the ransom price must be a perfect, sinless, infinite, and eternal price. Man is unable to pay that price. In our lost condition, if we take our last breath in that lost condition, it will take eternity. Do we hear that? When does that come to an end? Eternity is eternity. Forever. To pay that price. Huh? He's a sinner and unable to pay for his own ransom. He is hopelessly lost with death and judgment as his certain and eternal destiny. Wow. Unless someone else can pay his ransom. Did you get that? Unless there was someone else that could pay his ransom. Now get this. Going back to the picture in the under the law of Moses. In the law of Moses, there was this provision of a kinsman redeemer. Someone that could redeem you if you had been sold into sin, sold into slavery, or your property had been ransomed, sold off. If there was someone that could come in and pay the price, redeem you or your property or both, huh? It's called a kinsman redeemer. There were three requirements under the law of Moses to fulfill the work of a kinsman redeemer. And as that word kinsman would indicate that the redeemer, the kinsman, needed to be what? Kin. Needed to be related. Need to be related to the one who is being redeemed. But not only that, this someone had to have the ability to pay the ransom. And then thirdly, that one who would be the redeemer must be willing to pay the ransom. All three of those requirements. One related, one that had the ability, and one that was willing. Now think about that. No member, no one else, no other member of the human race could pay the price of sin for another man because, why? All men are sold under sin. Hallelujah. God, I love that word but in the Bible. But God made provision for man's redemption. Thank you, Lord. How did he do it? God became man's redemption. God became man's redemption. What do we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3? There it said that God gave his beloved, his dear son, it says. Gave his dear son. You know the idea of those words, dear son? It's a the son of his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That son was loved of his father. His own dear son. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. We know the story. The angel is speaking to Mary. And he says, or actually he's speaking to Joseph about Mary. And he says to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What's the name Jesus mean? Jehovah Salvation. Literally, Jehovah is salvation. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1 and verse 68, Luke 1, verse 68, it says this, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Now listen to this. Who is it talking about? The Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. Huh? Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God the Son of God, came. John chapter 1 says he tabernacled amongst us. The idea of that word tabernacled is that he pitched his tent amongst us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. God became man's redemption in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the ability. He had the ability. But also he was a sinless sacrifice. God was a sinless sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me back up. We said he had to be related. So what did God do? He had his son be born of a woman. Of course, the Holy Spirit. God the Father. Uh-huh. That conception within Mary was of the sinless God. And so Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He identified with us. He became part of the family of mankind. And yet, he was a sinless sacrifice. He had the ability to redeem us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says a lot about this. There, John writing, and he's again talking to Christians, and he says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him, in Jesus Christ, is no sin." No sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, "For he hath made him," now listen, "God made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Did he know sin? No. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 26, it says this, "For such an high priest," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Huh? Yes, he was that sinless sacrifice, a sinless Lamb of God. And in order for Jesus to be our ransom price, in order for him to become that ransom for man's sin, he could have no sin of his own. He had to be free from all sin, all transgressions. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says this. We read from chapter 7. Chapter 4 says this in verse 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Huh? Jesus endured all the battles and struggles that we face. Yet he rose above every one of them. Sinless. Sinless. Yes, Jesus was a sinless sacrifice. But then we also see that God willingly became man's redemption. God willingly became our redemption. No one forced Jesus to become man's sacrifice for sin. No. He willingly laid down his life for sinners. And again, there's many verses, but in First John 3, verse 16. It's another great 3:16. 1 John 3:16. where hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Huh? What's it say there? Did someone force him to lay his life down? No. He laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, huh? In emulating him. I want us to take note of that word, because he laid down his life for us. The idea of that little three-letter word is the idea that he laid down his life in place of our life. What did we say? Either we had to pay the price of sin, which was our death, or someone else had to pay that price for us. Jesus Christ stepped in our place and laid down his life for us. Jesus, God in the flesh, as a sinless sacrifice, willingly laid down his life so that his blood would become that ransom. That ransom to pay the price of our sins. Here's the clear declaration from Jesus himself in Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 10 in verse 45. Oh, these beautiful words. It says there, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered under, but to minister," and listen, "and to give his life a ransom for many." He became that ransom. He became that price to purchase my salvation and your salvation. To purchase us out of that bondage to sin. To set us free. Yes. Then fourthly, the provision of redemption. The provision. Jesus' redemption for our sin restores us. It restores us to the place of God's forgiven children. In Galatians chapter 4, it says this. I told you there was a lot in the Bible about this matter of redemption. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says this. "But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Why did he come? Verse 5, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Did we get that? That redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ restored us. It redeemed us. It restored us to that place as the children of God. The adopted sons of God, children of God, in and through that price paid. In Colossians chapter 1, that we read at the beginning of our message, listen, it says, "giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," made us fit, made it possible for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, "who hath delivered us," hallelujah, "delivered us from the power of darkness." That's where I lived for the first 22 years of my life, under the darkness of this world. But Jesus redeemed me and delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's a beautiful statement there where it says he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The idea of that word translated, I love it. It means, you know, it means to take someone out of this place and put them in another place. Huh? To take us from that place of darkness under the bondages and the ravages of sin. To take us from that and place us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God in His dear Son. Huh? That's a moving day.
Amen.
Hmm? Yes. And then lastly, there's the acquisition. This is not quite the last. The acquisition of redemption. We need to see this thing applied. The redemption's application. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, there it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, speaking of Jesus. By His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained temporary. No, it's not what it says. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hey, we like to talk about this thing being paid in full. There's never going to be a day, huh? There's never going to be a day when God's going to come and say, well, everything's been great till now, but here's the bill. It's never going to happen. Huh? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Jesus said His own blood. But He did not shed that blood for His own sin, but to earn, to pay for eternal redemption for us. Thank you, Lord. Well, what are we seeing here? We see the realization of redemption. Redemption's realization. Doesn't have to be just a perspective. Doesn't have to be something, for someday in the great by and by. No. We see the guarantee. The guarantee of redemption here. Redemption is that aspect, that idea, or that truth, I guess it'd be better, of our salvation. That reveals the beautiful accomplishment. Not something possible, but what Jesus accomplished in the purchase of our freedom from sin's bondage. Redemption was realized by Christ's sacrifice for sin and the applying of His own blood on the heavenly mercy seat. The blood is there, beloved, to pay the price. And you'll not have to shed your blood because divine, sinless blood was shed for us. Huh? Goes back to this tremendous truth. And again, from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 3, in verse 24. Be mindful, what's verse 23? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Huh? Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I deserve God's judgment. Yes, I deserve eternal death. But God was pleased to justify me. Hey, God was pleased to make an old sinner right with Himself. And how did He do it? He did it through the blood of His own sinless Son. Huh? Wow. Pretty good stuff. How about the future of redemption? What lies ahead? The future of redemption. There's a guarantee, beloved. I like guarantees. Best thing, I like lifetime guarantees. And in this case, it's not just a lifetime, it's an eternal lifetime. Excuse me, an eternal guarantee. I want us to look at the final glorification in redemption, the fulfillment of redemption in the glorification of the body. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 1, He had a great thing to share with them. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, speaking of Jesus, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Somewhere, sometime along the way, God was pleased to bring the message of the gospel to each and every one of us that are saved. Someone, some dear saint, was pleased to share with you what Jesus did for us. His death, burial, and resurrection. The price that He paid to set us free. It says, in whom all ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. It's not about what I did. It's not what I'm doing or what I can do. It's about what Jesus did for us. I'm secure in Him. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And it goes on to say, which is the earnest. Did you ever buy a house and have to put up earnest money? Kind of a down payment? The sealing of the Holy Spirit is that earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What? Until the purchased possession. I've been bought with a price, Paul told the Corinthians. If you're a believer, you're bought and paid for, body, soul, and spirit. He explains in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it's great stuff. Listen to this from verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that sealing of the Holy Ghost. Even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to which the redemption of our body. What's going on there? Some of you young folks don't understand this. I get out of the bed in the morning, it's sort of... got to get the joints all going again. And I'm thinking, about three steps. And I say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Every day along the way, I'm more and more ready for the redemption of this purchased possession, this old body. It's great stuff. The redemption of our body. We realize from these verses that not only our soul, our spirit, but also the body has been redeemed. When Adam disobeyed God, his body received a death sentence. The moment he sinned, his body became subject to death, corruption, and mortality took hold. But, Paul say, under the praise of His glory, there is a future redemption even for this body. Jesus defeated death. He defeated that corruption. He defeated mortality. And He has replaced it with incorruption and immortality. Hallelujah. The context of Romans chapter 8 makes it clear that though, yes, the body suffers the ravages of sin's consequences, there's a hope that transcends it all. There's a hope that transcends the present. Get this. The believer in Jesus Christ has a very real, earnest expectation, as verse 19 tells us in Romans 8. An earnest expectation. That's what I was talking about a moment ago, kiddos. When God returns and God calls me out of this world and replaces this vile body, this mortal body, this body that is subject to corruption, with a body that's glorious. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Paul was convinced. If he's convinced, you and I should be too. Paul was obviously convinced that there is indeed a future redemption, a deliverance yet ahead for these mortal bodies. Remember what he said to the Philippian church? In Philippians chapter 3, and there in verse 20, I'm trying to hasten. Get this. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation, the idea is our citizenship, our true residence is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We live every day. If you're saved, you live every day with the expectation, the anticipation that Jesus could return today. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is even able to subdue all things unto Himself. To subdue all things unto Himself. What's that mean? It means, beloved, if you're saved, one day the corruption of these vile bodies will be restored. But get this. When we, oftentimes we'll repair something and we'll say what? Oh, it's good as new. Just like new. Now get this. In this redemption of our body, it's not just like new. It's better than that. What's it say? Let me take a breath. We're going to be given a body like Jesus' body. Fashioned like His body. That's not better than anything we ever had in this life. It's the greatest. Get it? No more walkers. No more wheelchairs. No more ambulances. No more hospitals. No more sickness. No more pain. No more death. For every single one of us that knows Jesus Christ is our Savior. Remember what we read there from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18? Remember what it was? Talking about how we can't purchase this with the riches of this world. It says, you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your elders. But verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What the riches of this world could never ever accomplish. Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God. That Lamb without blemish, without fault, accomplished for us. He paid the price. He paid that ransom to redeem us to Himself. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Redeemer, as your Savior? If you do, you've been ransomed. You have been set free from your sin. Redeemed. How long? Permanently. Eternally. Into the family of God. And on top of that, given that hope of the future redemption, even of these bodies. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's stand together. Thank you. Father, we've tried our best to deal with this subject of our redemption. Your accomplishment, your work on our behalf. Lord, I don't have words to express my gratitude for what Jesus Christ has accomplished. The price that He paid. Oh, His own blood, His own life. That He willingly laid down for us. And Father, I just ask you. I'm asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I don't know the hearts, the condition, the need of folks in this auditorium this morning. But you do. And I'm asking you, Lord, I'm praying that you might be pleased to grant your Holy Spirit in this place today to move and brood over this assembly. Whatever the need is, Lord, please deal with hearts, deal with lives. It may be there's some in this room that still need to be saved. They need to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Redeemer. Please, Lord, right now, deal with their hearts. They might cry out to you, Jesus, save me. Redeem me from my sin. Oh God, please, work in those hearts, work in those lives. Father, I'm also praying for Christians. Pray that we as believers in Jesus Christ would come to value what He did for us. What He accomplished for us to set us free. To deliver us from that slavery to sin. That we today could be those liberated children of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, your grace to sinners. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother DJ.
Number 157, Jesus beat it all.
Beloved, As we sing, please just obey the Lord. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you need saved. Maybe you need to come and cry out to the Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Redeem me, Lord. I want that ransom price that you paid for sinners. But I'm also praying, as I mentioned earlier, that we as Christians would come to just appreciate what God's done for us. Value what He's done for us. And in turn, live for Him. The psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Might we be quick to declare to this lost and dying world what Christ has done for us. Please, as we sing, obey the Lord.
I hear the Savior say, my strength again is strong. Child of me, let's watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
What a great God.
Amen.
What a wonderful Redeemer. What a beautiful truth. Redeemed of the Lord. The ransom price has been paid, and we are free. Amen. Brothers DJ.
Course of the month, Mansion on a Hilltop.